Welcome to Dear Darkness, where we talk to the artists behind Tanz in Bern, the international dance festival of Dampfzentrale Bern, coming to you this fall from October 24th to November 8th. Today we're talking to Jefta van Dinter, who lives in Sweden and in Berlin. Jefta will be showing his piece Dark Field Analysis on October 27th and October 28th, which will be also available with audio description. Here is Jefta.
Dark field analysis is an existing term for a microscopic analysis of the blood. You use dark field microscopy, and you can study the blood under a microscope, and it inverts the structures against the background, which means that they are white structures and a black background. That's why it's called dark field analysis, so that you can more easily actually study the structures such as the blood cells, I don't know exactly all those terms that exist there, but all those things that are alive and move in your blood, you can witness them under the microscope. So dark field analysis is a method used in alternative medicine. And I had a dark field analysis reading done to me when I was at poor health. So I was going through a difficult time health-wise and also psychologically, and I had this analysis done, and for me it was a very powerful and estranging experience of diving into myself. So there was this anatomical approach, looking at your biology, but you're actually looking at it alive in front of you through a microscope. So there was this notion of taking something that is of me and looking at myself. So, I mean, in some sense, you can compare this maybe to psychoanalysis or something like that, which also does that, right? But there was something very interesting to me due to this anatomical approach linked then to a very kind of existential psychological experience of that. So that title appeared very strongly for me as something to work on, but also that kind of approach of putting yourself under a microscope, or of diving into yourself and also diving into those areas of yourself that are hidden or more obscure or more diffused. That is one aspect of the performance. The other aspect of this performance was the idea of encounter. So I am somebody who very much works in my practice and in my art making. I bring in a lot of the things that I'm going through in life, basically. And so in that last year, I had also had especially one, but more than one, very powerful encounters with people. I had fallen in love with the doctor who was doing my dark field analysis before he did the dark field analysis. So that was one very powerful encounter, but also others. And I was interested in how this verbal exchange that happens between people, how that can be in a very heightened state. So how you sometimes have this exchange with somebody verbally, and you somehow have a very big experience. Thinking back, it might be that you think, well, that was actually quite an ordinary conversation, but the feeling of it was very profound. So this idea of this encounter that on one hand is like ordinary, but on the other hand is existential, and the kind of gap between them, or how they can actually be on the same level. That was something that I was interested in to bring on stage and to research.
So you're using the body, but also the language, and putting it all in a black box to analyze it better.
Yeah, exactly. So it's scrutinizing, I would say it's somehow scrutinizing this encounter, and it's scrutinizing this also how you, through the encounter and through language, dig into one another and get into the other person and get under their skin, literally speaking, which is also a line that we use in the piece. And so I would say that is the startup of the performance. That is the premise in which we meet the performance. And slowly, as the piece moves on, there's more like a dissolution, actually. There's more dissolving of a space that is more like analytical and cerebral, I would say. Very exposed. We sit in a kind of laboratory situation almost. And slowly these borders start to dissolve, and we are suddenly in another, in a more fictional space, or in an internal space, or in a space that maybe I would even say audience also talks about how they experience that they actually are inside their own bodies suddenly watching these things. Also in a very literal sense, the space gets darker and darker until the point where you cannot actually see anything in the space except for those moving bodies. It's very low light. So you have almost an inversion, which also is in a way a kind of traveling into yourself, because I'd say somehow that the place of the theater, or the social communal space that theater is, also dissolves. At some point you find yourself only with this pair of eyes and this pair of ears, immersed with these bodies, and you don't have any idea, any kind of feeling of the rest of the people who you're sitting there with.
That's interesting, because we now at a place where we have to always know where the other person is next to you and how far they are away, so we keep our distance, and that dissolves as well. Maybe in that piece, we have the theme of dear darkness for the whole festival. To what means darkness to you as a performer and a choreographer as well, or maybe as a human being?
Well, I guess in some sense I'm rather Jungian in the respect that I am not afraid of darkness. I am not afraid of my own darkness. To me, darkness is a space to go into and go through and to use and to even be productive in. To me, it's a place of beauty, very much, darkness. And yes, I think darkness in my life and in my work has often been also coupled with something maybe destructive or like effortful or with hardship. But I think the work also often shows maybe that it is a passage, or it is something to befriend. Darkness is also something to befriend. And I mean, to me, Dear Darkness is a beautiful title. I don't know if you snatched it from PJ Harvey.
Yes. Yeah, indeed.
To me, Dear Darkness was one of the most beautiful song titles I've ever heard, I think. And of course, the dear encapsulates also this notion of welcoming it. Yeah, it's a beautiful link, I find. Also, in Dark Field Analysis, the performance has been sonically constructed around two PJ Harvey songs. There are two moments of singing in the performance, and they are, so the lyrics and the melody are taken from Slow Drug by PJ Harvey, and from Horses in My Dreams, also by PJ Harvey. And actually, so that was the way that we constructed the piece musically, was actually that those were the entities of vocal expressions in singing. And then there was a whole compositional arrangement around that. So David Kears, the sound designer, has made a sound world around those tracks that don't anymore have much to do with the original songs, but that then in the end lead up to these songs. So that there is a very clear link here for sure.
Can you talk a little bit about your daily routine as a dancer and choreographer as well? Are you still dancing?
I am dancing less and less, in the sense, well, so I made a kind of cut a few years back when it just simply became too heavy to be a full-time choreographer and a full-time dancer. I think the professions are, of course, very combinable. And also for me in my trajectory of becoming a choreographer, very necessary. But at some point, this, like all the tasks that you have as a choreographer, also in touring, like, I don't know, giving interviews or the productional work or having an eye on the technique or like all of those things that, at least how I do it, they are also a big part of the job. And then to be on top of it, also a dancer who trains and eats properly before the show and works out and does the show and cools down and takes care of their bodies, and it just didn't work anymore. So since I don't know, two, three years, I have backed off from dancing in my own work. So I dance in the studio with, like, in creation. I'm dancing in the studio with the dancers, but I'm not performing a lot anymore. It happens, but I'm not performing a lot anymore. So my daily routine is more, it has become less of a dancer routine, and I'm doing different kind of training now. Also, I have a personal trainer, so I train on my own wherever I go with my body and few equipments. So that is a routine that I have, and since I do that, I also, my body has changed, and I don't have the kind of pain that a dancer has all the time. So, I mean, in the beginning, I think when lockdown came, etc., it became a lot about how to make the best use of the time by doing things that I wouldn't normally do. And there was a lot of studying or reading or things like that, but in a way pretty fast it also, that need dissipated, and I think for a while I was busy more with relaxing and taking easy time and using the time to take a break actually. And then that was getting into frustration and the need to work. And so then I was lucky because I could get back to work. I had chances to get back to work even during lockdown, even with other people, because I was sharing a household with somebody I could dance with. And in Sweden, the restrictions have been less hard. I've been lucky because I'm working on a solo for a dancer in Kullberg. So also because it was a solo, we could already be working before the summer. And actually now there are no such restrictions anymore in Sweden. So groups can work together now. And at the moment, I've been also going a lot to archipelago outside of Sweden. And I'm there right now. So I've been spending a lot of time in nature, actually.
Yeah, it does help against some darkness sometimes.
It does, yeah. And it also, for me, especially this year, it has been, I mean, nature has been a place for me to spend a lot of time in general in my life. But especially this year, it's also been a way to not deal with the psychology of Corona much. Which you meet much more in cities or when you're actually in theaters or, you know, like, or when you're trying. This trying is getting very testing. Yeah, on an island like here where there are 20 houses and six inhabitants over who live here full time, you just don't have this issue.
Going back a little bit into your past, what made you become a dancer? Really, was there a person that inspired you to it, or did you always know you're an artist, or did you always dance, or how did you become a dancer?
In a sense, it's a little bit accidental. If I backtrack, like where the seeds were planted, they go far back. But there was never a conscious decision to actually become like an authoring artist. I was more answering to things that were coming my way. Even choreographing was for me not like a big decision when I started to do it. But the trace, I mean, so this, my first experience of performing is when I was around 6, and I was playing on the streets in Japan, kind of theater play that my parents were doing because they were missionaries. I was the flower in the creation story, and we would stage a play of Adam and Eve and Satan and God. And so that was my very first experience of being on stage in a way, and somehow dancing became part of my life as a teenager. I was doing hip hop and I was doing funk, and then at some point a friend of mine took me to a dance studio, really like for evening classes, and the teachers were so enthusiastic that they just said, they kind of convinced me to start dancing. And that was when I was 17, and then 1 year later I auditioned for a school in Amsterdam. So there's a history, but then there was also a kind of sudden moment where I decided to do this. And dancing, so I did a modern dance academy, and I went and I started working in a company, and then slowly I started to freelance. And in this freelance scene, I eventually started to work with people like Mette Ingvardsen and Xavier Leroy and so on. And in a way, the step to then start to author my own work was not so big, because in those kind of structures, you are also very collaborative. So you're very much part of this, the team that thinks together. And so, yeah, and that was then, so I started making work in 2008. So it's been more than 10 years now.
And we're already at the end. My last question is really something different. Like, what are you watching, reading, listening to? What are people that inspiring you at the moment, or what is turning around in your head that you want to share with us?
Those things go in waves. Sometimes it's more film, sometimes it's more visual art, sometimes it's not so often dance, to be honest. It's more other kinds of artistic expressions, or I would say also what I was talking about a little bit earlier is this, like how I'm in my work, my influences are also really about living life. So like my interaction, or what I pick up in society, or questions about environment at the moment, or, you know, so more like those kind of concepts or topics that come my way just by being a person in our contemporary society. But then of course you also have those books or films, or High Life by Claire Denis. Her last movie, it's a sci-fi movie. It has beautiful colors. So I've been looking at the colors.
That was Dear Darkness, where we talked to the artists behind Tanz in Bern, the International Dance Festival of Dampftental Bern, from October 24th to November 8th. You can buy tickets and find more information on tanzinbern.ch. See you there.